Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. This is my dad, Ted.
Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. I'm your host, Ted Knightsky. Last week, I celebrated my 49th birthday. So I did what I've been doing since I turned 30. I pushed myself physically. In the past, I've gotten up and gone for an extra long run, usually doubling or tripling my distance, and I try to keep the same pace I did when I was 30 years old. Well, the last couple of years, the body and the brain have been in conflict. The brain says, "You got this, Teddy." And the body says, "No, you don't." So this year, instead of being sore for a month after my birthday, I took a bike ride. A long one. And when I bike, I tend to listen to books or podcasts, but on my birthday, I decided to give myself a reflective topic so that I could get lost on the ride in my thoughts. You see, lots of people don't like their birthday, but every year I look forward to mine, every year since I was little. And every year on my birthday, like I said, I push myself physically, but I also give myself something to think about. And I don't run with headphones or bike listening to music. And this time, I just thought, and I chose to reflect upon this simple idea. Who got me here? Try it. Take a long walk with the idea that you're going to just think reflectively and gratefully for how you got here. I started by thinking about who immediately in my life got me here. Kids, my wife, colleagues, friends, and then I started ticking off each of the people who've been difference makers in my lives as well, teachers, professors, bosses, and then from there, I focused on my relatives and my family, and I wound up getting completely lost thinking about one person of all the people in my life, and how a few memorable moments likely sent me on my current path. Now, before I get into the reflection with you, I want you to hear all of this in the context of the importance of you, yes, you, recognizing how memorable you might be to someone else in the very near future. Leaders are hyper aware of the impact they have and are having on others as they are serving them. It is a fact that every moment of every day you have the ability to change the direction of someone else's life through your actions, and that is a serious responsibility. It is also, and can be, positive and negative, which is why great leaders get that each day they are making memories in the lives of others. Memories of being supported or not. Memories of being charged with energy or drained with compliance. Memories of being empowered to take risks or memories of being isolated. Each day, hour, and minute is an opportunity to make the life of someone else better. Therefore, taking time to recall your memories is powerful as it creates gratitude in those that have served you and, for some, a desire to repeat that same service for others. So about 9 miles away from my house, I began to think of the man who makes Memorial Day a wonderful day for me. Now, Memorial Day is a day in the United States that is set aside to recall those who have given of themselves or their lives in the service of our country. It is designated to take time to remember. One of my earliest memories as a kid was running around on the front lawn of the American Legion post in Milwaukee that my grandfather was a member of on Prospect Avenue down by the lake. It is the post my grandfather, Lloyd Frick, was a member of. It is where my parents and all my aunts and my uncle were married. It is where I attended countless holiday celebrations. It is also where I heard the sound of gunfire for the first time on a Memorial Day weekend celebration when I was really small. My grandfather, Lloyd Frick, he served during World War II. He was in the 8th Army Air Corps and was stationed in England and France during World War II. His brother, my great-uncle Clyde, also served and was a Marine in the Pacific Theater. Both men stood well over 6 feet tall, and for me as a four-year-old, they were giants, literally and figuratively. My grandfather was the kindest man, funny, and always loving. So as I biked, I stopped thinking about him in the context of who he was and turned instead to what he did for me. My conclusion? I am who I am today as a result of him turning me on to several things as a very little guy. The first is service. My grandfather modeled to me service. He loved the American Legion and he loved the Sons of the American Revolution. I'm blessed to be surrounded with great people in my life, and my grandfather taught me about one of our ancestors who was a soldier and a prisoner of war during the American Revolution. On our side. He showed me documents and books, and he even had a picture of George Washington in his family room. And it sparked a really inquisitive part of me, every time I was over there. My grandfather was someone who I revered. Although he passed away when I was only 11, I got a full lifetime from him, which I realized when I was biking. His family room, back at their house in Milwaukee, had his service medals on the wall, books about the planes he worked on, and his friends flew, and a black globe. And when I became a history teacher, I used to think about him a lot. I introduced to my students an old tradition that I had done in the early 70s, students writing letters to veterans. I did a lesson about how servicemen and women made sacrifices regardless of their role, and I asked each student to write a letter thanking a veteran. I then mailed a handful to each of the VFWs and American Legion posts in a few counties around the school that I worked at, because I had assumed that they would get so many letters that they would just discard a giant pile of letters from one school. Now, this was back in 1997, but it was about 23 years after the Vietnam War. My grandfather taught me as a very young man that those that sacrifice have great value for me and my freedoms. Sending these letters was one of my ways of continuing to demonstrate the gratitude I had for him and others for their service for our country and their sacrifices. The response from the VFWs and American Legion Post was frankly shocking. First, one of the Legion Posts gave me an award. It was a patriotism recognition, and it was given to me for the saddest of all reasons. You see, kids stopped writing letters to the veterans in the late 70s, and as a result, many of the World War II and Vietnam and Korean vets felt that I needed to be honored, and that embarrassed me. Second, the letters the veterans wrote to the kids? Well, that was amazing. I didn't expect a response because when I was little, I didn't get a response. But these kids, in the 90s, they got photos and patches and memorabilia. Heck, one kid even got some cash and was mailed a bullet. Problem. But it was awesome. These soldiers were so grateful that they had been remembered that they were giving the students very personal mementos from their archives and their lives. Each of these letters to the students lifted each kid, and each student received a response, something none of us had expected. But it was memorable. And that generation of students I had in my classes likely recall these experiences and those letters, some of whom are now veterans themselves. But it is the leadership of those who we are supposed to honor, who instead humbly turned the tables on us, all because of a little guy. A little guy who used to hunt for Easter eggs with a bunch of World War II buddies of his grandfather's at an American Legion. The second thing my grandfather taught me that I thought about while on the bike was that the world is actually very big. As a little kid, driving the 35 minutes from Port Washington to Milwaukee used to seem like a lifetime to me. So boring. But his family room had a globe in it, and he would show me where he had been because of his service, and that was really far away. It made me curious. It got me thinking about the world, and looking back, I'm pretty certain my love of the world comes from him. He also had National Geographic, and I loved looking through those, especially at the maps. But like everyone in that generation, National Geographic was treated like a book, so he had hundreds of them. And you took care of them. You never threw them away, and you used them as a reference in the future. Well, for my 10th birthday, and this is going to really help you understand why I am the way I am, my grandparents got me a subscription to National Geographic for my birthday. Now, my grandfather used to let me look through his, and suddenly I had my own set. I hung every map that came every other month up on my wall, which is really weird because I had maps in my bedroom of Nigeria, Thailand, free Western Europe, all on my wall when I was a fourth grader. As I pedaled on my bike last week, I made a connection that I had not made before in my life, and it was all while thinking about memorable moments that I've had. I have a minor in physical geography and was two classes short of qualifying for a cartography certificate, all because of my grandpa and that globe. I was and still am fascinated by the world, by maps and travel, all because of the globe, National Geographic, and my grandfather taking interest in sharing his experiences with me. As I pedaled, I kept going back to the correlation between my weekends with my grandfather and who I am. I have so many great people in my life, but I just kept thinking of the Legion. I mean, I could taste the kitty cocktails while biking. I could see the books about World War II in his den, which I now have on my bookcase, and the black globe, which I have a replica of in my office. The next thought that hit me as I pedaled past a very ripe dairy farm in Wisconsin was my strong memory of the last time I was with my grandfather. It was a brisk fall night. And on that night, I think he instilled something in me that has been with me ever since. My grandparents, as they had done every Sunday, had come up for dinner. And after that dinner, my grandfather asked me if he could hear me play the violin. Now, I had just started taking lessons that year, and he took interest in me. As he sat on the edge of my bed, it probably sounded like the squealing of 100 dying rabbits, but he sat on the end of the bed looking at me as if I were a young Mozart. I felt so empowered as I played for him. And when I was finished, he asked me if I could show him how to play it, and he gave it a shot. And if my memory serves me, I think he sounded better than me. My grandfather always took interest in me, always willing to show me things I was curious about, and very, very patient with me. I never saw him mad, only saw him willing to do things with and for me. I realized that his interest in me is a root cause of my annoying level of curiosity in others, and my almost detective-like ability to get to know someone very quickly, which really helped me when I was a teacher and a coach, helped me build relationships. The final reflection I had as I was riding home was about a hose and a flagpole. When I was little, I would spend the night at my grandparents' house a lot. And on really hot summer nights, while my grandmother was doing the dishes, my grandfather would drag the hose out to his front yard, sit down on the stoop with me, and he would water his yard. He held the little gray garden hose pistol and would expertly spray the lawn back and forth. Sometimes, if I was lucky, I'd get to hold the hose and water it with him. But we just sat there, a couple of guys, not even talking. He'd smoke his Tarrington cigarettes, and we'd sit there in the city heat, and we'd wait for the sun to disappear over the houses and eventually get ice cream and fruit for my grandma. But it was when the sun finally set that he taught me about honoring others. After he was done watering, he'd stand up and tell me to come with him, like 15 feet from the stoop to his flagpole. He had this old flagpole in his front yard that was about 12 feet high. It was painted white, and he would take down his American flag every night. He'd say something to me like, "We bring the flag in at night, Teddy, to keep it safe." And the next morning, I'd wake up, and he'd be off to work, and I would come downstairs, and my Grandma Ginny would have French toast waiting for me, and I'd look outside, and magically, that flag was back up there, because he put it up every morning, took it down every night. As I rode my bike home last week, my body said, "Teddy, it's time to get off the bike." It was 32 degrees, I couldn't feel my hands or my nose, and I was frozen. But the last 40 minutes of my bike ride flew by because memories frozen within me had thawed. Who got me here? How did I become a buffalo, an optimist, a service-oriented person, a history teacher, a leader, a traveler, an admirer of others, a dad? Well, it hit me. Memorable people like my grandfather, a man who was with me for only 20% of my life, and he made a 100% impact on me. I recognize that this story is a lot longer than normal, but it has a huge point. How memorable are you in the lives of others? What did you teach others through your actions? How are you supporting others to be grateful for who they are, what they have, and how wonderful our problems actually are? Memorable days are not difficult to achieve. That is, if you are focused on true leadership and the service of others. So here are the reflections for you as you move into this week. Four main themes for you to do some smart thinking around. 1. Serving others. 2. Fueling others' curiosity. 3. Taking interest in others. 4. Honoring the efforts and sacrifices others have made. Each of us, every day, is curious, and the human mind likes to find new stimulation. As a leader with and of others, what are you doing to support the four key reflections? Serving others sounds like an activity. Many people think that they'll teach others about service by doing a project. While that is awesome, it's momentary. Instead, take on a you-first mindset. Put others first, and putting them first allows others to see your example and creates a service mindset. So does taking the time to review what got you where you are, who helped you on the journey, who pushed and coached you, who provided resources, who reinforced you, who drove you, literally to and from things, but also emotionally and physically. Service sounds like an action, when in truth, it's a lifestyle. If you hear service to others as a burden, you need a mindset shift. If you hear service as an opportunity, you're there. And if you hear service as an opportunity to elevate those around you, you're a leader. The second lesson is fueling curiosity. You have interests, and those create fuel in others. But take a walk and look at everything with wonder. I wonder who built that. I wonder how that's made. I wonder why that person's smiling. When you do this in the presence of others, it helps them look at the world differently. When others are curious, you need to strike with energy and work towards helping that person figure it out. When others are curious, take interest and jump into their curiosity. Never shy away from a line of inquiry from others. Instead, go down that path. Too often, we like to guide people to what we know so we are comfortable. Well, guess what? Nobody grows when they're not stretched. Stretch yourself and others by engaging in the interest of others. I mean, my grandparents bought me National Geographic when I was sitting around reading Disney readers. That pushed me. And it also fueled my curiosity. And this naturally leads into the next element of leaders. Be interested about others. A few months ago, I was in a meeting with a great friend of mine, and we were all in a leadership session. And he was talking about how he struggles to take interest in others beyond the surface level. And he jokingly yelled at me. My grandfather took interest in me when I was little, and I think it's why I'm interested in others. Now, my friend, he had noticed that when I was introduced to someone for the first time, they had indicated that they had recently become a grandparent. And I asked that person, "Wow, what's the name of your grandson?" My friend, when we were debriefing upon that day, he was actually mad because he's like, "Who thinks that they need to ask someone who's their grandchild and what's their name?" And I said, "Well, I wanted to show interest. I think it's really cool. I'm always interested in knowing the names of grandchildren." It's powerful when others want to know about you, when others inquire to hear your story, and it speeds trust and risk. And if you're genuinely interested in them, it empowers them. As a leader this week, take time to be interested in others. Take time to see all of the things about them, and then watch as the moments shift to being about growing together and an investment in trust in others. Lastly, honoring others for who they are, what they do, and the sacrifices they make in an effort to meet your expectation. Resentment grows pretty quickly in our world if you do not honor what others have done for the outcomes of you or the organization. When you expect others to work hard, to give of themselves, and stretch what they value in order to meet your needs, you better honor their sacrifices. So many times in my life, I am sitting in meetings and not where I want to be, especially when they're in the evening and I want to be with my family. Now, my family, they're used to it. But when others demand that I step away from what I love in order to help them, and they do not honor the impact, well, that actually creates a little disconnect for me, between me and them, as well as a loss of motivation to help them in the future. I don't need a gift card or cash or a plaque. I, like you, just need to know that the others honored the fact that these actions had consequences for me, especially on those that I serve. So if you're asking others to serve and give up time with what they love, make certain to recognize that and honor their sacrifice to serve others in you. As a kid, I loved my grandfather and was crushed when he passed away when I was little. But imagine for a moment that 38 years later, your grandson is out biking and doing some reflective exercises, because that's just how he is, and he came to the realization that in a very short period of time, you, his grandfather, set his course. Obviously, along with a lot of others, but boy, did you have a big role. If someone were to tell you that sometime today you will dramatically, yes, dramatically change the direction of someone's life by just being yourself, wouldn't that freak you out? I hope so, because in the next month, the next day, the next hour, you're going to do something that changes someone's life. Life months or years from now, and one day they'll be like, "Hey, on such and such day, so-and-so changed my mindset, and it changed my life." So let's do some smart thinking. Who got you here? Describe how you will instill service and honor in others, and list the ways that you take interest in those around you. That's it. That's the Smart Thinking Podcast. As always, thank you for listening, and please remember to share this with others and follow us on Facebook and Twitter, which I was told is the old person's social media the other day by my daughter. Also, thank you to the Well Pennies for their great music. And finally, make today and every day memorable. End your day reflecting on your ability to help others and not on what went wrong. Instead, think about what went right, what is good, and what you can do tomorrow to serve more people. Make it a memorable day for yourself and others, because that's your choice. And don't wait for your birthday to think about all the people that made you. You? Instead, act today as if you are a difference maker. Act with honor. Give people grace. Act with humility. And lead with energy. Each of us is obligated to serve those around us, and that needs to be done with an obnoxious amount of enthusiasm. That way, we look at every storm as an opportunity to lead. Lead ourselves out of it, lead others through it, and lead by example. And lead with a level of consciousness that allows others to be who they're destined to be.
Is there an emotion? Is there any way? 'Cause I got a feeling it gets harder every day. And all of the worry aching within, you're falling to pieces and the walls are closing in. A wide open sky, honey, it's everything. I wanna hear you sing, so don't say goodbye. 'Cause you are the only one, and I wanna chase that sun. You're all out of something. All out of lies. There's never a reason, just a fire in your eyes. There's always a moment, never a care. And I wanna feel it like I did when you were there. A wide open sky, honey, it's everything. And I wanna hear you sing, so don't say goodbye. 'Cause you are the only one, and I wanna chase that sun with you. I wanna chase that sun with you. Let me fall all along the way, but just let it go. Somebody hears you, someone understands. You take every moment like you're holding out your hands. And you'll never miss it, you'll never cry. And all that matters is the light in you and I. Oh, wide open sky, honey, it's everything.